Last year, I talked mostly about the parts of Mass and kind of how it gets broken out. This year, I'm trying to focus on the spirituality of Mass. Our preparation for Mass is really the beginning of the spirituality of Mass. How do we begin for Mass, and when do we start to prepare for Mass? Well, it begins as soon as we leave this Mass. So as soon as we walk out this door, we're starting to prepare for next week's Mass, because everything we experience in our life, everything we experience during our week is supposed to be brought here and flow from here. You know, we're supposed to reflect on our entire week and every moment of our day based on our reflections and our experience here at Sunday Mass. The church tells us that it's the source and summit of all Christian life. And so it's the source that we flow from, and it's the summit that we come back to. And so we are continuously kind of living out our life. And so we don't come to Mass here to escape the world. We come to Mass here to bring the world. Just symbolically, artistically, this area out here is called the nave, and it represents the world. This area here is a sanctuary, and it represents heaven. That's not to say that this is a bad spot and this is a better spot. It's to say that heaven and earth meet together here. And so, you know, that interaction is something that helps us in our own spirituality. And so when we encounter things out in the world, we're supposed to bring them here. When we start to space out and we start to think about those things that we experience during the week, then that's a moment for us to be able to pray about those things, not to just completely space out. You know, you're going to come here and maybe you're going to see a neighbor that you're having a hard time with. Maybe you're sitting beside a family member who you just had an argument with before you got here to Mass. Maybe that same person always sits in front of you and they're always annoying. It's your chance to pray for them. Or maybe to get up off your butt and move to a different part in the church. So that leads me to another thing. You know, are we open to what is about to take place here? You know, so oftentimes I hear people say, well, I can't hear or I can't see or whatever, but they're unwilling to move. Well, if you're unwilling to move here in church, then maybe it's a sign that you're unwilling to move in your life. You're unwilling to move for God in your own life. And I would love to be able to say that we have a church where you can hear in every seat that you can sit in, but we all know that that's not the case. Space and acoustics act differently. You know, there are certain sections that are easier to hear and see. And so, you know, what is our activity here at Mass? How do we pray here at Mass? Because it reveals a lot about our own soul and what's going on there. You know, it's funny, us priests can kind of watch each other, how we celebrate Mass, and you can see the personality and the good things and the bad things about a priest and the way that they pray through Mass. The same thing as you, because you might be looking at me, but I can see you, and I can see how you're praying and acting as well. And so, you know, it's a good time for us to reflect on how we pray and how we present ourselves here. So another thing, too, is I think oftentimes our society is consumeristic. So we leave here and we go to Cracker Barrel and we want to get this thing. And so we have this menu and we pick it off and we buy things. So it's hard for us in American society not to bring that consumeristic mentality into Mass, to not come here expecting to get something. And that's just not what the Mass is all about. The Mass is all about giving, complete giving. And so if you're coming here to get something, then you're not going to get anything. If you're coming here to give something of yourself, then you'll find that you'll start to get stuff. But it's only because you give. It's only because you give. And it's very important for us to understand that we have to give completely of ourselves. We have to give so that it hurts. And so it has to be a meaningful gift. With that in mind, when we come to Mass, we're placing ourselves in kind of in the front of two really historical events in the life of Christ: the Last Supper and the foot of the cross. Of course, if we think about that, then we understand kind of the demeanor that we should have here at Mass. You know, we should come here not to have a party, not to have this big celebration, but to kind of be a little somber in the reflection. I mean, imagine if we were able to sit at the foot of the cross and see Jesus' sacrifice. Imagine if we were able to be at the Last Supper. It would be hard for us to speak because we would want to be so overwhelmed and so awed by what's taking place before us. And that's where we're at mostly when we're here at Mass, is we're at the Last Supper and we're at the foot of the cross. And so those two times are times where Christ was giving himself completely. Christ on the cross, of course, giving everything for an imperfect people, for people who were slaughtering him. He still gave of himself. And so at the Last Supper, he knew that that was going to happen and knew that this was going to be the way to continue to pass that on to his followers. And so he gave the Eucharist to his disciples. So when we come here to Mass, we come here to give first and foremost, not to receive. But the dichotomy is if we give, the more we give, the more then we start to receive in our own life somehow. You know, everything that we bring into the church and we end up giving, either our money, the bread and the wine, you know, just ourselves, all of that's a gift in the first place. So it's a very strange thing that we come here and we give God something that he already has, something that he gave us in the first place. And so it's kind of like little kids bringing up some, you know, horrible monstrosity that they made in art class to their mom. It's nice and it's beautiful, but it can never be something that mom can use because moms don't smoke cigarettes anymore, apparently. But, you know, that's kind of the attitude that we have is, you know, we're giving back to God something that he has completely created and given to us in the first place. And so it's almost a childish act on our part, a beautiful childish act on our part to give back to God a portion of what he's given us. So, you know, just kind of ponder that as we go through the Mass. The other thing, too, is that, you know, it's a meal that we celebrate here, but it's also a sacrifice. The word Eucharist is a Greek word that means thanksgiving. And so if we have a joyful heart, it has to be a heart rooted in thanksgiving. And that's the kind of a joyful heart that Christians should have, one that is completely rooted in thanksgiving. So, you know, we come in and we kneel down and we pray before Mass. Chances are some of the first things that we think about are the things that we need, the things that we want. In reality, the first things out of our mouth should be the things that we're thankful for. Just that slight little change in our prayer and our participation at Mass makes a huge difference. You all, I think, know in your own hearts, you all can experience it in people in the world. When you meet a person who's thankful and joyful, they're more generous, they're more helpful, they're more entertaining to be around. Not entertaining, but just nice to be around. Because they understand that they have a lot to be thankful for. And so all of us do. We live in Hancock County. We live in a county that's very well off, most of us. Even those of us who are not the most well off, we have so much in this world to be thankful for. And so it's a very important thing for us to have a very thankful heart when we come to Mass. If we don't, then it's going to be hard for us to understand what we're doing here. So just, you know, if you just think about that thankful heart and then also the giving part of that, if you find yourself coming to Mass and you find yourself getting dry or not getting anything out of it, then I would say that's where you need to look first. Am I joyfully thankful? Am I coming here to give and not to receive? So it's certainly true in my own life and in the vast majority of people that I experience, that's where most people's dryness comes from, is because we've become selfish and not thankful. And so start there if you want to get more out of Mass. So participation in Mass, we have songs, we have words that we say, we have things, you guys have things that you say, I have things that I say. There are parts of the Mass that I don't say because you say them, because that's your priestly parts. And so it's important that you say them. It's important that you sing them. It's important that you participate in those things. If you just sit there and don't sing, if you just sit there and not participate, then that's going to have an effect on your life. When my parents first came to St. Meinrad to visit, they would just sit there in their seats because at that time, you know, they were Protestants, and so I'm not going to kneel down. I'm not going to participate in the Mass. And so they would always say, well, I don't feel like I'm a part of the Mass. And it's like, yeah, it's because you're not. You're not doing anything. So once they started kneeling down, once they started praying, once they started doing those actions that we all do, then they felt a part of that community. And so the same thing is true in our own participation here. Sing. You guys do a pretty good job of singing. Our acoustics are great here, but we all need to sing. We all need to say those things that we're supposed to say. We're supposed to participate fully. Now, that being said, participation and doing things doesn't necessarily mean being busy. So there's going to be times, hopefully, during the Mass where you actually start to reflect a little bit, and so you don't really notice that we moved into the Gloria, or you don't really notice that we're singing or something. Hopefully, if you find yourself in that, it's because you're reflecting in a prayerful way in that. If your mind has wandered off and you're at the grocery store thinking about the list that you need to buy after you leave here at Mass, that's okay. Pray about that, because you have no idea what's going to happen to you when you go to the grocery store. And so for me, when I have temptations or when I have distractions enter into my prayer life and my own participation in the Mass, then those are moments for me to be able to pray. Even if it's that one person out there who is not paying attention and is driving me nuts because I'm an old teacher and I can't help but see that they're not paying attention, then that's a moment for me to pray for that person, because I have no idea what's going on with them. Maybe they just lost a family, or maybe they're just having a really hard time, and so that's a moment for me to have a moment of grace to pray for that person. And if it's a distraction, then God will take it away from me, but maybe it was God who put it on my heart in the first place to pray for that person or pray for that thing. So you can kind of think about that. The other thing, too, is we have kids here. I know that kids can sometimes be squirrely and move around and do things, and that's just how it's going to go. If we want this church to grow and be better, then we have to have kids here. We have to have families here with us. And so, yes, from time to time, we hope mom or dad will take little Billy, who's screaming his head off, back to the cry room because it's just too much to deal with. But there's also times where we just need to figure our own selves out and just deal with it. Because hearing every single word that's said from my mouth or every single word that's said at Mass is not necessarily the most important thing. Participation and being here, a part of it is. You know, you can go to Mass in French, you can go to Mass in German, you can go to Mass in Japanese and still go there and not understand a word that was said, but you're still getting grace. You're still participating, and you're still a part of that. And so it's important for us to remember that. The opposite, though, is true, too. So kids can be really cute, and kids love attention. And so when the kids try to get your attention, that's not your chance to entertain them. You know, we're here also to help teach them how to pray. And so, you know, one of them being really cutesy and stuff and trying to distract you is okay in kind of what kids do, but it's also our chance as a larger community to help that child understand how to pray, to help them understand that we're not being rude, we're just not going to, you know, play footsies or whatever it is that the kids want to play with us at that moment. So, you know, just kind of think about that in your head. One of the last things before we kind of get into the start of Mass is the different parts and the different things that we do at Mass, our actions, the way we stand, the way we kneel, the songs that we sing, they're all here at the service of the liturgy that we're about to do. All right, the ritual, that big red book that the kids hold up and tell me, it has instructions in there about how we're supposed to celebrate Mass. And so everything that we do here, songs, words, actions, it's all at the service of that. And so it's there to make our participation here better. It's not an end on its own. And so while we have songs that we love and things like that, it's only at the service of the liturgy. You know, if you listen, Johnny does a great job of picking songs that talk about the same themes that our readings have. So our songs are there to highlight the readings that are being spoken, or even the themes that are happening, like on Christmas Day, or some of the prayers I might say. So all of those things going together. When we kneel down, it's us using our body to physically move our spirit into an action of prayer. It's very hard for us not to kneel down and not to move into some sort of prayer. That's because that's just the posture we use for praying. So, you know, Catholic calisthenics is a real thing. It's there to keep us moving in a direction, knowing that we're fallible humans and that we just can't sit there forever and not do anything with our bodies, because our bodies are just as important as our souls, and they go hand in hand. There's a reason that Christ was resurrected with his body, because we're going to be resurrected with a body, and so our body has a role to play in our spiritual life as well. So that's kind of just some thoughts before you even get here, or as you're getting here. As we begin, there's the introductory rites. So typically, I and the servers come forward. That's just a chance for us to kind of start to gather and focus our attention together. We begin with the sign of the cross, just like we begin all prayer with the sign of the cross. I say the Lord be with you, and you say with your spirit. So that is an interaction that is calling into God's presence here. I'm saying that the Lord is with you, and you're saying that the Lord is with me, and that I have the Spirit to lead this action as the person of Christ at this moment. So that is the Spirit that was given to me at my ordination. So it's an acknowledgement that what we're doing, how we're focusing, who's leading, and that Christ is present in the body of us gathered here, but also as me, as the priest, as the head at this moment. Then we do the act of contrition. It can take a couple different forms, but the act of contrition is just a moment we all take time to ask God's mercy and grace in our life. We ask for forgiveness. Again, that kind of goes with the whole thankfulness. We understand how much God has done for us. We're not standing here at Mass because we're worthy. We're not standing here at Mass because we're perfect. We're standing here because of the exact opposite. We are very fallen human creatures that need God's mercy and need God's grace. And we begin by asking for that. So when we do that, venial sins are forgiven. So you decide to do speed on your way here. That sin is forgiven. When you come here to Mass. Now, it's not to say that you should speed on your way here because you know it's going to be forgiven. You don't want to do that. But, you know, those smaller sins are forgiven when we do the act of contrition at the beginning of Mass. When we receive the Eucharist and participate in it, those sins are forgiven. Grave sins and mortal sins are not, though. And so if we have a grave sin in our heart or a mortal sin, we need to confess that before we receive the Eucharist. From time immemorial, even back to St. Paul, it tells us to make sure that we've properly prepared ourselves before we receive the Eucharist. And so, if you have a grave sin, then you need to confess that before you receive communion. So I offer a lot of confession times during the week. What's a grave sin? A grave sin is something that is directly connected to one of the Ten Commandments. It's the easiest definition. A mortal sin is something that's directly connected to one of the Ten Commandments, but you do it very knowingly and willingly, and you know that you're going against God when you do that. So that's the difference. So it's important for you to come in and to go to confession. Sometimes that means that when we come to Mass, we shouldn't receive the Eucharist because we do have a grave sin on our soul or a mortal sin on our soul. So that's not to say that coming to Mass null and voids any of that. You're still going to get grace. You're still going to get help in your life to be able to live it. But it should be a call for us to get a confession a little bit more regularly. You know, the church asks us to go to confession once a year, but the church also asks us to receive communion once a year. So if the church is asking us to go to confession once a year and to receive communion once a year, then it's telling us that when we receive communion, we should probably be going to confession more often. So if you frequently receive communion, if you receive communion every single weekend, then you probably need to be going to confession more than just once a year. Not every week, because I don't have that much time. But, you know, a quarterly or something, you know, get yourself onto some kind of regiment there. So this is something to reflect on and think about. So that's kind of the beginning. Some of you have put in questions. I'm going to do my best to answer those questions as I go through the natural flow of these questions. There's some that I probably just won't be able to get to exactly. So why don't we all stand, and we'll go through the first part of Mass.